Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter, @_RingsideRant. Follow the network's page, @BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, your host of Over the Top Rope on the Win Column Sports Network. Don't forget, you can head to wincolumnsports.ca for all of your previews, reviews, and breaking news from the world of wrestling, be it your major promotions or from the great province of Alberta, Canada. Now, back to Sounds of Struggle with your hosts, Chris Parrish and Mania.
Episode 102 of the Sounds of Struggle, and he is
102 Dalmatians, the subpar sequel.
But one time I was introducing you first.
You'll never take me alive.
Ooh, I get you when you're dead.
Yeah, you do. Sweet. Defile my body.
Cool. I'm Chris Parrish.
I already told you who I am.
No, you didn't.
I'm 102 Dalmatians, a subpar sequel.
Is that a thing?
That's legit a thing.
So it's not a who.
I'm a what.
So who are you?
Pongo.
I totally got you there.
Who am I? Who? I'm CSI.
Hey.
It's actually funny because I was just thinking of that too.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
What do you want to do? Wrestling first or last? The big question of every week.
Might as well do it first.
Really? Okay.
Well, I mean, it was pretty big on the weekend.
What happened?
Well, like, it was pretty much all weekend long.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? We had NXT TakeOver War Games.
Yes, we did.
And then we had Survivor Series, so it was a pretty big weekend.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, let's start with War Games.
I am pulling up the matches now.
So, at the beginning of the show, we saw Cassius Ohno answer Matt Riddle.
Matt Riddle randomly came out, which was... They did a little thing on the pre-show, like...
He had a bromo.
He did have a bromo. I do enjoy that, the bromo. It's good.
And then came Cassius Brono.
Or Obro. Cassius Obro.
I'm surprised you didn't call him Cassius Brono.
Bro!
Yeah.
And, ring the bell. A flying knee, which looked like it murdered Brono's face. Yeah. And a quick 1-2 bro.
Right in the Brono's? Ah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got this one.
And, that would be Matt Riddle's first, takeover win.
The TK bro.
God, it's CK bro.
Yeah.
It was a match we didn't expect, although I did say there would probably be one more match, and I was right. And, that was... Well, I liked it. It was just a little something. I liked it.
Really count that a full match.
Well, technically, bell ring match happened. Bell rang.
It's WWE's version of a match.
Right.
But yeah, and then we came out to the opening bell of the women's 2 out of 3 falls.
Yes.
That was an interesting match. Because right away we saw interference from the other 2 4 horsewomen.
Yes.
And then, yeah, because what did...
it happened like right away.
Did Kairi get the first fall and then Shayna ended up getting the next two?
No, Shayna got the first one. I do remember that. Because the other two, which... It's Mrs. Roderick Strong, which I can't remember her. Maria Shafir. Yeah. I can't remember the other one. I can never remember the other one's name. They attacked and...
You have your phone out, but you can't.
It doesn't remember. It doesn't say who they are. It just says Shayna Baszler defeated Kairi Sane 2-1.
Why don't you just search out 4 horsewomen?
I don't want to.
Because I know the card. There's only 4 matches.
There's technically 5. But anyways, yeah. Either way, I was impressed with how this match went. It wasn't long either. It was only 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I liked. It, you know, hard hitting, fast paced. Yeah. And at one point towards the end when it was 1-1, you had Dakota Kai, for some reason, come out and try to even the odds. And she was getting beaten down.
Well, yeah, Dakota Kai and Io Shirai.
And then Io Shirai then came out and did a sweet moonsault.
Well, the reason why Dakota Kai came out is because she's had some issues with Shayna Baszler in the past.
No, that's true. So, I'm surprised because they're featuring her fairly prominently on NXT UK.
Oh,
I thought she'd kind of go do that and kind of, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing to have Dakota Kai featured on NXT when... You know that viewership is going to probably get looked at from the UK.
You know what? I will say this.
Because it's probably going to be a Rhea Ripley and Toni Storm going after that title for a bit. So the more you can make, more eyes you can bring on other women, then when that feud is over, you can actually...
I will say this. I really am starting to really get into Dakota Kai. She's really starting to grow on me. Took a while. Took a horny hour. But she's starting to grow on me.
See, if there's one thing that she can't do...
Is grow on you?
Like, well,
she's growing on me like moss. You old moss back cow.
Well, she won't ever give me a horny hour.
Fair enough. Oh, you want to hear the sexiest sound in the world?
A monster opening up. It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. But no, like, I'd love to see Io Shirai get in there with Shayna Baszler.
That'd be nice.
Yep. I know. I like her a lot more than I like...
Kairi?
Yeah.
Kairi went too cartoony for me. When she first came in, before she did the whole, you know, treasure thing, like full-on pirate, when she was kind of doing it for the Mayon Classic, that's the Kairi I really liked. But then she went full cartoon. You never go full cartoon. Oh.
Well, see, it's not so much the gimmick. It's the fact that... I don't really see that she pushes the gimmick aside that well. Like, with Shayna Baszler, you have this badass who knows when it's time to get dirty, she gets dirty for the sake of a fight.
Mm-hmm.
With Kairi Sane, there's too much gimmick and not enough dirt, I guess.
Substance.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say substance, because there's substance in her character, but there's not a level of that character that, okay, when a pirate has to walk the plank, you know, where's that desperation then? You know, like, you know what I mean?
With Jack Sparrow? I don't know.
No, like, but at the same time, like, at the very least, like, make it believable for me that, like, you're, you know, that pirate princess gimmick, but at the same time, when things get rough, when things get dirty, I want to see that evolution in that character that can go there as well.
Yeah, to the pissed off pirate princess.
Well, I mean, hey, well, if she's the captain of the Titanic, I want to see what they do next.
You want to see her go down with the ship?
Well, I mean...
You want to see her go down. Drown away!
I hear that they're making an actual replica of
the
Titanic.
It's almost done, and it's going to be the same route. And you can bet your boots, ain't no fucking way I'm on that one.
Well, I just hope her... If it's gonna go one on one with an iceberg, you know it.
They, you know, built it strong enough with the hull is the front of it.
I mean,
they made it like Bobby Hull's slap shot, where it's strong enough to, you know, go through it.
part of me thinks it's cool that they made a second Titanic.
No.
But if it does get hit by the same iceberg, part of me is also going to laugh.
I mean, assuming, you know, everyone makes it off alive, then absolutely. But I'm sure it'll be a lot safer this time around.
Because, like, what year was that the Titanic hit the iceberg?
1912, just before World War One.
So, in 2018, 2019, it hits a, like, Titanic 2 hits the same iceberg?
If it was the exact same, when it had, like, marks that said Titanic hit here, that'd be funny as hell.
That's what I mean. It hits the same iceberg. I mean, kind of funny.
Yeah. I'm just...
And then Leo can do a sequel.
Honestly, I'm more surprised the fact that it actually is being named Titanic 2, because nautical folk are very superstitious folk.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, the hockey player, the football player puts on equipment right arm, right leg first, then left. Same time, same way, every game. Nautical folk don't name shit after fallen vessels because... they're suspicious that it's also going to end up at the bottom of the ocean. So I'm very shocked they called it Titanic 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, it's for monetary reasons, I'm sure.
Monetary D's nuts.
Hmm.
Hopefully they don't get hit by an iceberg. That would hurt.
Hmm. Interesting. So the second match of TakeOver
is... honestly, after this, I can't decide which one's my favorite. I mean, obviously, War Games, it's a different thing. It's, you know, it's hard to say that wasn't the best match. But as far as singles match, I can't tell which one of these two matches is better.
Well, yeah, because we had Aleister Black take on Johnny Gargano.
And a phenomenal
match. And I'm going to say why I actually like this match better than I like the heavyweight.
You hold your tongue.
Because I did not care that much about the story that Ciampa and Dream gave me before their match.
You hold your tongue.
I wasn't invested in it really at all. I just wanted to watch the match. I didn't care what they did before. I actually cared about the story that Gargano and Black told prior to their match. And that match not only delivered, but also kicked my teeth in. Therefore,
you deserve what you just said.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Dream and Ciampa match was phenomenal.
The Psycho Dream match?
But there wasn't any completion to a story.
Well, for me, I agree that I think the Black Gargano match had a better story. But there's something about the Ciampa Dream. I don't know. It's two polar opposite characters that just drew me in so very much. I still, to this day, cannot decide which one is better.
Like Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream?
No, sorry, the Tommaso Ciampa.
No, I know, but like when we were talking about.
Oh yeah, it's all about like just yeah, and it was based around saying a name. Yeah. That's all it was, and that I think, as much as credit goes to Ciampa, a lot of that goes to Velveteen Dream because he seems to get the most obscure things over, which is awesome.
Well, I mean, he is a very charismatic individual.
Oh yeah, oozes so much charisma, his butthole is wet.
I think it's just over.
His butthole's over?
But let's go back to Gargano and Chomp, or Gargano and Black, sorry.
Johnny TakeOver gave Johnny Wrestling the night off.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing he did because Johnny TakeOver is now Johnny 0-1 TakeOver.
Johnny Jobber.
Johnny Jobber.
Or Jobber TakeOver? I don't know.
Johnny Jobber, I like that one. He can be JJ. Yeah.
It's a new double J.
Johnny kick him in the ding ding just became Johnny got his ass kicked.
Johnny take it in the ring ring?
In the, ring of fire. In the pink pink.
The O-ring.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it was a hell of a good match. I actually at the end was like, you know what? Even though, Gargano was kind of heel turning, but he's kind of doing like the sympathetic heel where it's like, you don't like what he's doing, but you understand why he's doing it.
Boy.
Kind of like a Thanos. So you get why he's doing it, you just don't like it. But he did such a good job playing that.
Well, I mean, really, a lot of heels are like that to the point where...
No, take that back. A lot of good heels are like that.
I mean, but for a good heel to get over, I mean, they have to make you hate what they're doing. But deep down, you hate them more because you actually sympathize why they're doing what they're doing. You just hate the actions they they go about it.
It's a very fine line, because if you do it and you do too good of a job, you get cheered. Next thing you know, tag Struggle 3.
Or Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, I guess to a lesser extent, him.
Definitely a lesser
extent. Aleister Black picks up the win after doing... What's he called? The Fade to Black kick?
Fade to Black.
He gave two in a row, basically.
Yeah.
And that, I thought, was, you know, it was the exclamation point, but it was the awe factor of holy shit. He, you know, Johnny took one, and he kind of fell into Aleister Black, but didn't go down. It was impressive way that they
took the one, but the way, like, instead of bumping, he sold forward, and his head rested on the chest of Aleister Black, so
the way,
kept him up, and then
the story they told in this was really, really well done.
I'm now getting to the point where, like, all these takeovers are just phenomenal.
I don't think, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they've ever done a bad takeover.
No, but to me, I wonder if it's just the simplicity of the booking that makes it the way they are. And maybe that's the reason why the main roster is, you know, hated.
Well, it's that too, because it's not, you know, you don't have 10 matches, you know, and you don't want to see five of them. You have five matches max, and you want to see all of them.
No, but, I mean, that's also the thing too, because just like both the NXT and the main roster, you have more people than you really need on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, the main roster needs to, you know, just take a lot of stupidity and add it to their storylines and not do the organic stuff possible.
Personally?
And simplify every little detail.
I feel like that might be McMahon.
Well, no, and that's what I mean. And that,
I think the fact that Triple H has the reins in NXT, I think he's letting them do their thing.
It's not even NXT. It's 205 Live now. It's just becoming better and better.
Which is also done by Triple H now.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. And then you look at, you know, all these, I don't want to say reasonings, but all these proofs that Triple H, you know, keeps things simple and tells that story. And he doesn't worry about, you know, out-of-this-world characters to the point.
He goes with people you can relate to, and that's why you care more. I mean, he still has, like, the Velveteen Dream. Like, who's going to call their kid that? But at the same time, you can relate to him. He does it in a human way. Speaking of a side note, Lars Sullivan apparently coming up to Raw.
How about that? Why Raw?
It's just the thing I saw. It just said Lars Sullivan coming soon and added the Raw logo.
Oh, yeah, but the same vignette was on SmackDown. And
I didn't see SmackDown. Oh, interesting. So he's going to come up to the main roster, right?
Yeah, and he's coming up. I think he's going to be on SmackDown only because I don't think they put him on the same brand as Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar.
That makes sense, yeah.
Like, I really think they keep those
apart. That makes sense, yeah.
Because how can you have a third monster on a show?
Well, it's WWE. They've done stupid things before.
And how can you have a monster if he's just going to lose to Strowman or Lesnar?
He's not a monster. He's Mons. That's all he's got. He's not a stir. So, anyways, next match. Chavo versus Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
For the NXT Championship. Great match. This is...
One and done, though?
I think so, unfortunately. But this is one of those ones where it's... And this is kudos to both guys, and maybe even more to Ciampa than Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream, I've never had a match that he's done that I haven't liked. But Ciampa, again...
This was the best match, I think.
He made me believe he was going to lose it. He did the whole Harley race. Holy shit, he's going to lose it. And then he kept it.
But
he did a very good job of it.
Again, that takes him part of a good heel.
Mm-hmm.
Because he exercises his ability to make you think that he's done for, and then he just finds that way where he is able to capitalize when it's not over, and then you hate it for it because the way he goes about it is just dastardly.
Yes.
And that goes to the how good of a heel I think Tommaso Ciampa is.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why I would...
He is the greatest sports entertainer of all time. Of all the times.
It'll be very interesting of who is paired with him next.
I think Gargano will pair with him against somebody.
I would like to see a DIY reunion. However, I think it happens after Ciampa loses the title.
You think it happens on 205 Live for the tag titles? 205 Live tag titles?
I don't know. All I know is it wouldn't surprise me to see these two come back together in some way, shape, or form with Candice LeRae as their manager, who is also...
Almost a la Blake and Murphy kind of thing?
Yeah, and then whether or not this gets brought up to the... Like, that's... I mean, you ask me, man, there's like 10 people you can bring up to the main roster right now from NXT.
Wow. And you know what? I could actually probably name 10 people that are not Lars Sullivan. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but there's that... The roster is that deep... Has that much depth.
Lars Sullivan 100% is a Vince McMahon call-up.
Sure. But all I'm saying is that I could call up 10 people that are not him just because the NXT roster is so deep.
Yeah. I still think if Adam Cole is on the main roster,
he
gets more over than 90% of these guys just because of his entrance.
I'll even say 97. There's a 3% of people who can still go over, like an AJ Styles. Like, it'd be just as much, but he would be an instant hit.
Yeah, but AJ Styles also had one of the best years in wrestling in the last year.
He's had quite a good run in WWE so far.
To the point where they made a 365 special on him, which was fantastic. It was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal. You took the words right out of my fucking mouth.
I mean, when you think about a guy that pretty much is asked to, hey, you know, we're going to put the title on you only because we want you to face Lesnar within a week. Okay, you face Lesnar. Good for you. Okay, now just, you know...
Carry SmackDown for a year.
Yeah, carry this show, but also... but before that, he was asked to go to... after a show in Chile one day. Then he's going against Finn Balor.
Which he looked phenomenal in that match.
And then gets the title. Then just goes on this insane run with
it. Which, by the way, it turns out apparently he had a partially... Was it torn quad or he pulled something badly? He
tore his hamstring.
Right after. And he still wrestled on it.
At Money in the Bank or right before that.
So that was 6 months of wrestling on it?
Yeah.
It's insane. He's a machine. And not to mention, also, side note, completely unrelated to
that
wrestling.
That was a match where he kicked fucking Nakamura in the ding ding.
Kicked him right in the ding ding. Nah. Yep.
That was before his matches with Joe and
Styles
kicking
him in the ding ding. Yep, absolutely.
Those are insane matches too.
But on a side note, not related to wrestling with him. Good dad, but not a helicopter pilot, and he doesn't dote upon them. Like you saw him with his kids, and they were riding scooters and stuff without helmets and stuff. Like, let kids be kids. I'm not condoning. Hey, kids, go play in traffic without helmets, or go ride down the street on a bicycle. But I mean, you're on your own little property. You don't have to wear a helmet. Have some fun.
Sometimes as a kid, you want to know why you have to do something.
So you learn.
Yeah, sometimes the way you learn is by failing. It is okay to fail if you learned why you failed.
It's just not okay to fail and give up.
It is a different thing when you fail, not learning your lesson, and failed again. That's the problem.
Yes. Point is, I don't know why that stuck out to me, but I like him even more now. But anyways, back to TakeOver.
Yeah. Speaking of failing, Velveteen Dream failed in his quest to become NXT champion because he lost against Tommaso Ciampa.
It's still a really good match. Oh, that's the other thing, too, is that I like that he saves the big...
Who dressed pretty much as Hollywood Hogan?
He basically was. Yeah. I like his little knockoffs. I also want to say, I'm pretty sure he stole the Move Thief thing from me. Because I started doing it, and literally a month later, he started.
Month later?
Literally 1 month later.
So you started a month later?
No, I started a month earlier. Sorry. You fuck. But no, I started doing it, and then a month, the next month was a takeover, and he started doing it. It was insane. I called it. Damn it. Anyways, War Games match.
Yeah, but, okay, I also want to point out the thing. A very popular black wrestler... for the second time, stole a Hulk Hogan look.
That racist bastard.
But that's the thing. Is this now a sign that Hulk Hogan is becoming more accepted with the black wrestlers in the locker room in WWE? because there's guys that say, like Mark Henry, and I think Titus has gone out saying there's still work for him to be done. Now, is this... But
they're willing to forgive him.
Is this a thing between Hulk Hogan and the black people in the locker room? Or is this a thing of, okay, the older black people are having one train of thought with him while the new age or the younger black people have a different one? Because there is definitely an age gap between Velveteen Dream and Mark Henry.
What are you talking about? Velveteen Dream's what, 23 and Mark Henry's 50?
So, I mean, it's just
I think it's
to some, me it's more curiosity.
I think it's some people,
cuz I would love to see what Hulk Hogan, like how he's viewed with the black people in WWE right now. Like, I'd love to know if that's...
I know the New Day, they don't like what he said, but they said, you know, people make mistakes, shit happens, move on from it. So I think they're okay with it. It definitely seems to be a more older person, old school mentality.
Yeah. Which I don't disagree with.
No, it's to each their own.
But I'm just really curious on the thing, because I don't know if this is just necessarily a Hulk Hogan versus the black people of the locker room situation, or if it's more a Hulk Hogan and black people thing, but there's also that disconnect between the age group of the black people in the locker room.
Do you think the Velveteen Dream would feel differently if he was on the main roster?
I don't know.
Maybe that has something to do with it.
But I'm just saying, I would like to know if even Velveteen Dream himself has, you know, in quote-unquote forgave Hogan, or if it's just more of, look, I respect what you've done to this business.
Now I'm going to steal it.
Well, and that's the thing, like, he's showing, there's a difference between showing, you know, honor and respect to those who came before you, and then respecting a guy who did something off camera. So it'd be very interesting to see. I would love just to, you know, put three different guys, like a Velveteen Dream, a Mark Henry, and maybe someone in between that time, like age thing, and just ask.
Like Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, or like an Xavier Woods even, too. Like somebody in between that age group. Just because I think Kofi Kingston might be too close to the Mark Henry.
Fair enough, yeah.
It's a joke. He's old. That's a joke.
Anyways.
But yeah, so...
Let's get back to War Games.
Yeah.
With the War Games match. And you're going to have to help me with this because I had a case of the... country song, I had the Boot Scoot Poopies.
Boots. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. My stomach revolted against me.
And Papa John's nuts of early.
No, it did not, which is weird because normally I don't have a problem with it, but it revolted against me.
Well, it's probably not Papa John's. It's probably what you eat the day before.
Yeah, whatever the case was. Something didn't sit right, and I ended up missing at least half this match.
Well, I mean, the match started with Adam Cole.
Bebe.
Starting off with Ricochet.
I saw basically that up until just before the first entrant came in, which I believe was Kyle O'Reilly?
Yes.
I think right when he was let out, I'm pretty sure that's when I had to run.
And then right...
I had the runs.
I am still... I still don't know which War Raider is which.
War Raider Roe is the bald one that's engaged to Sarah Logan. War Raider Hansen is the one with the hair and the giant beard. Like I said about the giant beard, the one with the hair. War Raider Hansen's the bigger one. He's like the fatter, bulkier one.
Okay, so I think he came out second.
Okay.
And then we saw Roderick Strong come out third, followed by the other War Raider.
Hansen.
And then we had Bobby Fish, who the very first thing Bobby Fish did was attack Pete Dunne in the cage.
How did he attack him in the cage?
Because he took his arm and, like,
whipped
him into the cage.
Gotcha.
And then he put his own lock, so a second lock on the cage, and locked that, and then threw away the key.
I like it. Man, I'm kind of pissed. You'd think I would have had time to go back and watch it by now, but I really haven't.
So, I mean, there was so much crap that happened in this match that just made you, like, just shut up and watch it because it was just, like, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, because you watched the whole thing, was it as good or better than last year?
I didn't compare it to the first one.
Okay. No, that's fair.
Because to me, it was different because we had three teams in the first one. Three-man teams. So we're going from 9 guys in the first one to 8 guys in the second. And we only had 2 teams of 4. So it was, in a way...
I think I prefer the 2 teams of 4, to be honest.
To be honest, it was a different match. What I think is funny is that... what we saw is everyone in the Undisputed Era, that was their second War Games.
Yes.
I also found it very funny that everyone from the first War Game match is on the main roster, but the Undisputed Era.
Shit, I guess you're right, eh? Yeah, because it was AOP with Roderick Strong.
Yep.
And it was...
Sanity.
Sanity. Yeah, you're right. Shit.
And the Undisputed Era. So the only 4 people in that match that aren't on there is now the Undisputed Era. Because Roddy then joined the Undisputed Era.
You're right. Yeah, you are right.
Why I find that funny is because...
They lost?
Well, no, not that they lost, but to me, they might be the one group that actually can change the dynamic of a main roster show.
Yep. But
better than a Sanity or New Day or any other group.
I would be very afraid that if they went up, they would get lost in the shuffle like everyone else has.
See, and here's why I don't think so. Because Undisputed Era has somebody super over with the crowd in Adam Cole.
Bye-bye.
And they have a great tag team, whether it's Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly or Kyle O'Reilly and Roddy Strong. If they went with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, then you also have a really good individual performer in Roddy Strong.
You know what? You can't cut Bobby Fish short, though. He's really good individual performer as well.
No.
I think he's a better tag wrestler.
But that's what I mean. I think Roddy is a better singles wrestler. Yes. He actually might be the best singles wrestler in the Undisputed Era.
Wrestler, yes. I think overall, no. Adam Cole, baby. No. But I think you're right. Actual wrestler, I think you're right with Roderick Strong.
And then you also add the character of Kyle O'Reilly. That guy is probably...
Captain, get punched in the face, get out of the ring, then bump. Love it.
Outside of Adam Cole,
baby.
Kyle O'Reilly might be the one heel that can make you change your... Like, that's probably why they get the... Outside of Adam Cole, that's why they get the face reactions, is because of the entertainment value that the Kyle O'Reilly show. And then it's really hard to dislike Roddy Strong, in my opinion, because he's so good.
I think it's now that... when he was a face, I found it a little difficult to... like him, and now
there's
he's
no
a heel.
Substance to this
now,
character.
Now he's a heel. I actually found it hard to hate him.
Yeah,
kind of ironic.
Well, I mean, it's that substance, a character, and that's why he works so good there.
Yeah.
By the way, the War Raiders, absolutely fucking cool gear that they wore.
Yeah.
That on WWE.com, they actually show you an in-depth look of what they wore. It was cool. The one person I felt bad with in this match, actually,
Ricochet?
There's two, was Ricochet and Pete Dunne. Because Pete Dunne, I think, probably should have been the first guy.
Yeah.
And I think it should have been Roddy Strong and Pete Dunne.
Okay.
I think that's a very telling... Okay.
Like where it's going?
Yeah, and it was like, okay. Because he never really got true closure up between those two.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And I don't think, like, Ricochet and Adam Cole really... really changed anything or really did anything. Whereas... You know, because then if you would have had Cole come out as number 2, and then you had a beatdown, okay, then you get it. I just don't think I would have put all that heat on your only singles champion in that match.
Well, there's 2 singles champions.
Yeah, Ricochet just in there, just getting kicked around for a while.
True, but I mean, either one of them. It's either a UK singles champion or it's just a NXT singles champion. Either way, you're putting it on.
Yeah, but I think...
I think personally, but like Pete Dunne has more fire. I think Ricochet is more of a sympathetic...
I think Pete Dunne has a more of a believability of, look, I can fight better out of two guys in Ricochet. Yes.
So. Which, by the way, I want to say, I don't know if you've seen the little clip of after the match when they're all backstage.
Yeah.
They're all hugging, saying, good job, we're all so proud of each other, blah, blah, blah. And Pete Dunne goes for the hug and he walks away going, eh, I don't care. That was hilarious. That's just the way he is. And then, like, the next day, has a kid.
Yeah.
So well, cool I mean, him.
Pete Dunne has been doing takeover for a year and a bit now.
Yeah. This
one has not been, like, and that's the thing, like, this is what, Ricochet's third takeover? Fourth takeover?
Let's see. He was the first one he was at was Rumble? Or no, Mania.
Mania, where he lost in the ladder match.
Mania, and then two. So it'd be third, I think.
No, he's in the fourth because he's done Velveteen, won the NXT North American, and then this one. So it would be.
This was his fourth, yeah, you're right. Yep.
And then War Raiders, this was their first.
Yep.
So.
They've made appearances, but they never actually had a match. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, so. And that's.
I think it's also his character. He's just like, yeah, that's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I just think.
But I don't think he's as nostalgic as a lot of other
people. No, he's just. I think. I honestly personally think British style wrestling is a lot more in general. Like, that's. Yeah, had a good match. Awesome. We're real proud of it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I just thought it was great.
Well, he's also a singles guy, though, too. Like, he's a singles wrestler. Yeah. He's not really. Plus, it just felt weird that Pete Dunne was part of this match, but, you know, the mustache.
He made it work.
Mustache Mountain wasn't with him.
Yeah. Because
the British Strong Style made. To me, like, it just.
If it was British Strong Style, Pete Dunne, and then add War Raiders, do 5-on-5.
What? That would have been awesome. If it was Ricochet and War Raiders versus three guys from Undisputed Era versus British Strong Style.
That was sweet.
Different. Because I think Pete Dunne would have loved that match more if he was with two guys that he considers best friends.
Yeah. No, that would have been fantastic. My question is, Undisputed Era, who do you use? Oh, you have to. Have to use Adam Cole, baby.
I think Bobby Fish would have been the guy not out because of the injury thing, and you wouldn't know if he'd be ready, so you'd probably just have him be the guy that interferes.
Yep. Well, it takes a shit-kicking and then thrown out or something like that.
Well, I was just saying, like, he'd be the X factor, but...
That'd be really good. Yeah, that's all for...
I mean, how can you... To be honest, at that point in time, though, going into that match... How do you not use the other three first?
Yeah.
I mean, close them almost over. And then you have your tag champs.
Tag champs, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's very true.
I think the one thing they got to do right away, though, is they have to put the tag titles on somebody else.
I'd say probably War Raiders is gonna be who gets it. But and I'm gonna say either at a taping or it'll be at the...
even if it's like somebody like the Mighty... Where it would help, like, push them up a little bit more.
Maybe. I can see it going to the War Raiders, though, to be honest.
Yeah. But, I mean, if it went to the Mighty and then the War Raiders, could have, yeah. And then you had, like, a thing.
Maybe the Mighty do, like, because they turned heel, maybe they do some sort of underhand tactics, steal it away in a triple threat match.
I don't think we've seen a triple threat tag title match in a while for NXT, so.
No, you're right.
We even do four corners and like a fourth team in there, whether it's a Street Profits.
Can't do Street Profits. They're tag champ in another company.
Yeah, you can definitely do them.
You put those titles on the line, too. If they get pinned, they lose those titles, but only if they get pinned.
And they also don't have to have those titles be recognized on WWE TV.
That is very true. So. Do you think that means, like, Evolve is kind of like now a feeder system for NXT?
Oh, I think it has been for a while.
Yeah? It's now more recognized?
When you look at how they pluck guys for the Cruiserweight Classic and stuff like that, a lot of them came out of, well, they've had, even for the UK tournament, they had qualifying matches at Evolve.
Really?
Well, where did Matt Riddle come from?
I don't fucking know.
Evolve.
Really? I did not know that.
So.
How about that?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
It's been like that for a bit now. I mean, guess who runs Evolve? Gabe Sapolsky.
Never heard of him.
You know where he also used to run? Ring of Honor. Back when guys like...
That Gabe Sapolsky? Eh? Fuck, I thought it was his brother.
So, the CM Punks, the Daniel Bryans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those guys...
Paul Heymans.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of Ring of Honor guys that then went to WWE out of the 2001-2002 time.
Let's see here. Let's see if I can do it. CM Punk...
Paul London,
Daniel Bryan, Kendrick. Paul London, Brian Kendrick... technically Colt Cabana for a bit.
A chick named Alexis Lurie, a.k.a. Mickey James.
Mickey James. Then you got newer guys. Got Samoa Joe comes in later.
AJ Styles.
Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins. Was Dean Ambrose there? He was more of a CZW guy.
Chris Hero, a.k.a. Cassius Ohno.
Cassius Ohno. Claudio Castagnoli, a.k.a. Cesaro.
I mean, there's a good crop of guys.
Yes, indeed. I still think Cesaro deserves some time with either the Universal or the WWE Championship. That's just me, though.
You know what I would love to see? If they weren't the tag champs on a main roster, them against the Coffey Brothers.
Ooh, that would be good.
Huh?
No.
Why can't the UK guys on the main roster go after NXT UK? That'd be interesting.
What about
they do a
breakoff thing where it's Sheamus stays on the main roster on SmackDown and Cesaro shows up with help from his old tag partner Cassius Ohno of the Kings of Wrestling go after the Coffey Brothers.
Well,
that would be awesome.
To me, it would make sense for the Irish guy and Switz.
Yes, fair enough.
But
that would be cool.
And then, or
almost even like a putover match.
Or like, what happens if Pete Dunne is like, "Oh, I'm gonna have an open challenge"? And it's Finn Balor.
That'd be sweet,
right?
No one would expect it.
Like, it would just be like awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I would love to see NXT versus WWE right now.
I'd even be okay with NXT versus NXT UK. But then you get, some guys from the main roster who are American go to NXT. From Europe, go to NXT UK.
Well, that's the thing. Like, both brands are doing the We Are NXT thing. So it'd be really cool to see,
like, an invasion on multiple sides.
Just instead of Survivor Series being Raw versus SmackDown, let's just do NXT versus WWE for one fucking event.
That'd be awesome. What about bring back a Battleground?
Yeah, but
I'm just saying you could do it sooner. That's all I'm
saying. Just think, like, you can do like a 4-man group on the main roster against, 4-man group on the NXT.
Basically Undisputed Era.
Right? Or you can do like New Day and someone against.
I was going to say, or New Day versus British Strong
Style. Yeah. Like, that'd be awesome. Fun.
You're right. There's some substance to this. We should do the booking of that later.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm going to put it in the future.
Pete Dunne versus Brock Lesnar would be interesting.
Yes, it would.
I mean, just pointing it out. Seeing like Alistair. I still think Aleister Black versus Undertaker would be cool just for the entrances alone.
That's all it is. Who can do the better entrance?
Well, I mean, it's just, to me, they're just so similar of characters.
One's the leader of the undead, one's the leader of the occult. Sorry. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Did you watch the pre-card match? Because that's the only one I didn't watch.
No, that's the only one I didn't watch either.
I heard it from my wife, Mrs. Manaik.
Yeah.
That it was actually really good.
Well, it was the quote-unquote unspoken win for SmackDown.
Spoiler alerts. SmackDown didn't win anything after that. Which I found different. I kind of didn't like it, but at the same time, I kind of did.
I'm also getting tired of Raw always winning, because I don't think they should need
no.
to.
No, I mean, was it SmackDown has won, was it the women's match last few years, or was it the tag? They've won something last few years in a row.
Well, I mean, really.
But overall, Raw's won basically every year.
I mean. But what was nice was that the Cruiserweight title was actually on the main card.
Which was a hell of a good match. They actually, for the first time in quite a while, I actually care about the 205 Live, which is different. Speaking of 205 Live, guess who was there? Give you a hint. It was a former champion.
You mean Survivor Series?
Yes, Survivor Series.
Not 205 Live.
No, sorry. I'm just talking about a former 205 Live champion.
Was it a guy that people asked how you're doing and his latest t-shirt says, "I'm doing great"?
I believe so.
Yeah.
You can't teach that.
No.
Yes, in the crowd, which I didn't know until after the fact, because they did a good job of hiding it, and a little bit he did, was the artist formerly known as the fuck's his name?
Enzo Amore.
That's the guy. I've already forgotten what his name is. But yeah, he did his little shtick in the crowd during the Raw vs. SmackDown tag team match.
Yeah.
And although I did not see it, I think it's hilarious I did not see it, and most people probably didn't know until after the fact.
Yeah.
I guess, you know what? Good for him.
A lot of people thought that he actually stumbled over his chairs. But no, he got tackled.
Yeah.
By one of the security, like the female security. The same one that fucked that we thought fucked up at WrestleMania with Gronk.
You mean did fuck up at WrestleMania?
No, because here's the thing. She wasn't told about that. Because this has been said on a podcast before. I think it was by Roman Reigns himself, actually.
Really?
He said that she was not even told about that. To the point where she didn't care who it was. She didn't know. So she just did her job. And when she does her job, you can't blame her.
You know what? Good for her, then.
Like, right on. It's like a ref. You know if it's not a three, but if their shoulder's down, you fucking count it.
Absolutely.
Right? So, can't blame her.
Yes. I think it's funny that he was randomly there and tried to do his thing. The part that I think is hilarious is everyone's commenting, well, who got his commemorative chair? No one cares he's there. All they want to know is what happened to his chair. I think that's great. Just shows how much he fucking doesn't matter. But you know what? Good for him for trying to create a buzz.
Well, he was also, I think, having his own, his first concert there.
Which apparently did not draw well.
Well, I mean, can't teach that. Oh, no, you can't. It's get over.
Right? Anyways, let's go back to Team SmackDown, which I believe came down with the Usos and the Revival.
Yeah.
Which I really should go back and watch this, because that actually sounds really good.
Yeah, because that's a finish I'd like.
Yes, but anyways, Usos getting over, and SmackDown gets their one win, which for some reason they won't acknowledge.
You know what I actually don't get? Is the very next SmackDown is New Day is like, oh, so happy. SmackDown won. We were part of the winning team. No, you weren't. The Usos were part of the only SmackDown winning team. Everyone else got eliminated.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
technically. You lost, technically.
Technically, you're on the team that won, but you didn't win it.
No.
By the way, SmackDown, I saw the clip of them having that turkey whatever, and they were slip and sliding all over on the outside. Hilarious. Enjoyed that. That's good.
Very awkward when they're making inappropriate jokes to the point where, like, well, Big E made an inappropriate reference, and then everyone's like, whoa, 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 and then he just takes a turkey and then acts like he's licking between.
Did he do that?
Yeah.
I have to watch it now. That's fantastic.
It was. Okay.
Yeah.
But the way he does it is just wrong.
Fantastic. I enjoy that.
So.
Anyways, on to the main card of the women's 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw winning with, was it Soul Survivor Nia Jax? If I'm not mistaken. I don't really remember that match.
Yeah, Nia Jax, I believe.
Was the only one she.
She pinned Asuka to win, I believe.
Yes. I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Which I called wrong. I thought the women of SmackDown were going to win that one. But again, oh well. Not much to say about that match. It was what it was. It was alright. I was.
These matches are clusterfucks, man. Like, they just are.
I think they should go back to 4-on-4.
Right?
I just think it's just a little bit better. But anyways, whatever. I'm just going to skip over it. It was what it was. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was alright. Next match, which was a good match, Rollins versus Nakamura.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the shit out of that match. And no Dean Ambrose interruption, which I was a little surprised by, but I guess I wanted to keep it clean. And we did say, though, if Ambrose does not interfere, that Rollins would win, which we called.
Yeah.
It was a good match, though. It made Shinsuke Nakamura almost matter to me. It doesn't still, because I don't
know. But I'd still like to see Nakamura on Raw.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
Opposed to SmackDown, because I think that's why he's forgotten a little bit about, because he's not on the main show.
They don't use him super well on SmackDown either. No. But you only have 2 hours. You got to fit a ton of stuff in. I get it.
Yeah. They don't even get half the fucking tag teams in there.
No, you really don't. After that is the the artist formerly known as Enzo Amore's match with AOP taking on Da Bar.
Yeah.
In a match which saw Drake Maverick pee his pants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what they were going for there. I mean, it was entertaining, I guess, but...
I just don't understand.
Not necessary.
I just don't understand on a tag team like AOP. Just think about, like, you're supposed to make these guys look like monsters, right? For as in tag team. But now you have a comedic sidekick in their
match. Which, don't get me wrong, I think WWE needs more of a Drake Maverick comedic touch. I really do.
But just don't put him with the
It is weird with AOP, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if they did it where it's like, they look like they actually might lose, and Drake Maverick then, you know, try to interfere and gets his ass beat, and then they end up winning every time, I'm cool with that, because you have the comedic effect of that, but he's getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
That I'm cool with. But peeing your pants? I mean, you can see clearly see him working whatever it was in his pocket to make it look like he peed.
Yeah.
But I just...
Well, it was water. Like, you know,
well, or yeah, whatever it was. But I think it's funny, though, on Instagram how...
Unless he actually did peek and just went, like, full edge on it.
Good for them. Yeah, if he did, good for him. But I think it's funny that on Instagram, EC3 decided to take a picture saying Happy Thanksgiving, where it looked like he peed himself, with Drake Maverick.
Yeah. Did you ever see their Batman and Robin?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
They are good friends, and I enjoy that. They do well, good stuff together. I think them as a tag team could be a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, AOP won that match. It was okay. Their new finish, though, that neckbreaker powerbomb, was fucking nice.
Yeah,
I like that. Way better than that Russian leg sweep clothesline thing they did, which I never thought should... It's, I mean, it's destructive.
It's a good double team move.
It's a good... No, it's a good double team move. It's not a finish.
No.
No, it should be a move that, like, either gets broken up or they kick out at
the last minute. Well, if you do it to, like, smaller guys, I get it.
Okay, yeah.
But bigger guys, no.
Now that they're on the main roster, it should maybe be, like, a foot on the rope or, you know... tag partner breaks it up or something like
just
that.
Just make your tag move bigger.
Yeah. Next match was a surprise, a hell of a good match. Buddy Murphy defeats Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, which
Enjoyed the hell out of this. Which, yes, you're right. We called that one. Not much to say about it. It's high flying. It's, yeah, it's good. It's good. I attribute Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali doing, like, what, Spanish fly off the announce table to the floor. The same kind of things as what Velveteen Dream. He saves his big bumps for big matches. And it's like, holy shit, I can't believe he's doing that. But good for them for doing it. Well, it's entertaining.
That's the thing. They are bringing the cruiserweights all back to TV.
And it's because they're making it fun to watch.
This is what the cruiserweights and WCW did, so...
And ECW.
Yeah.
Then it was Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. 5-on-5 men's elimination match, which... I believe it came down to Shane McMahon, barely alive, versus Strowman, McIntyre, and Lashley?
Yeah.
And then Strowman just destroyed him, and that was that. And again, this match was what it was. I wasn't super stoked about it. It was okay. Yeah, whatever. And then... Sorry, go ahead.
Was the women's match after that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Same main. And then his match that it was good, and then the ending made it great, in my opinion. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey, which we saw a surprise turn, even though...
Well, Ronda just got her ass handed to her by Charlotte.
Who basically took out a kendo stick and just beat the piss out of her. And a chair. She
took a chair, put her around the neck, stomped on it.
Which... It was a little cringeworthy when she kept trying to put it on the wrong way, but whatever. She made it work. Yeah, she made it work.
We still wanted to see it happen.
Oh, absolutely. But it was great. The thing that I hate, which we'll briefly touch, the next night on Raw, she comes out fine, ready to fight. And it's like, sell that shit. You can literally see the marks on your body. See,
here's the thing. I don't mind Ronda Rousey coming out and saying, I want to defend my title, get somebody out there... challenge me.
No, that's fine.
Don't do it the day after she gets fucking beat up.
No. You can even do it the day after if you want to be fighting champion. But sell the fucking match the night before. You basically kill all credibility. Like, yeah, I almost got killed. Like, she barely walked out on her own. Next night, I'm ready to fight.
I'm not even gonna lie. I'd rather have seen a Sasha Banks or Bayley answer that out just to plan more Four Horsemen Women versus Four Horsemen seeds.
That would be sweet.
So.
Who did answer, by the way? Was it?
Mickie James.
Mickie James, okay.
Which was still, like, cool because, like, she's a credible opponent.
Yep, no, you're right. But no, that match where Charlotte Flair just turns and attacks and brutalizes, attacks referees. It's like, it's a side we haven't seen from Charlotte.
And then find $100,000 by Paige. She was back down.
Oh, she was? Oh, cool. Yeah. I like it. But no, and I think the whole time when she was doing that, they were chanting Becky's name. I think it was awesome. It's almost like, fuck you for hurting, or for, you know, having Becky's hurt. It's not your fault, but taking it out of you anyways. Yeah.
And then, by the way, like, Nia got, like, real heat.
Legit heat because of that, yeah. You know what? She embraced it. So, although I don't like
how... And then called her punch, what, the face breaker?
Yeah. Which, again, I don't like the fact that she's hurt people and she's seems kind of...
No, but take advantage of
but
it.
But she's taking advantage, which
is good
for her.
It's a business where you have to take advantage.
Absolutely. It's like, I think she needs some more work, but the fact she's taking advantage of this, good for her for that. Anyways, main event. Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be either getting destroyed or whatever, or just kind of, you know, I figured Daniel Bryan would kind of get destroyed, kind of maybe get one or two things and that'd be it. But he got his ass kicked for the first little bit and then kicked Lesnar in the balls, which, again, this just shows you can tell when Lesnar likes a guy because he'll let Daniel Bryan kick him in the nuts. He'll let Daniel Bryan do that face stomp thing, which he just took it.
Of course, of all people, Lesnar would take
it. Well, of course. I'm just saying, it was like he let Bryan do stuff, and I'm like, fuck, I don't... It's been a good horny hour since I've seen anyone do that to fucking Lesnar.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. And it was a good match. Like, it just Daniel Bryan getting his ass kicked, but the very beginning, playing this really weird, cryptic kind of almost lunatic, kind of like Dean Ambrose style. And coming out all black gear and not doing the I like the character.
Well, he did like a eulogy of the Daniel Bryan character we all like thought like we all came to love on
back
SmackDown.
In the Indies.
And then he's like he pretty much just said like he's now like that Daniel Bryan we all loved is dead. There's a new
one. I like it.
Yeah, so and then he kind of had like he's like I needed Brock Lesnar to beat me up. I thank Brock Lesnar for beating me up because it beat up the Daniel Bryan that needed to escape my body so I can become the champion that I know I am.
Right? Yeah. There you go.
It's nice.
There you go.
So Brock Lesnar ends up finishing the sweep for Raw.
Yeah.
Which Stephanie then had told Baron if Raw does not sweep, he would not have a job as the acting general manager, so.
Yeah. And then next night, was it Strowman gets attacked? I didn't really watch, but Strowman got attacked.
Pretty much, Raw starts with Corbin coming out, bringing out Stephanie, pretty much wants her to, give him the permanent position of general manager, and then the general manager of Raw, and then Strowman comes out, says, "Look, he did his part. Now she has to like do hers." He wants a match with Corbin. She makes a match happen at TLC. Braun picks the stipulation of having a TLC match,
which is weird. What are they gonna?
I think it's just where tables, ladders, chairs are legal.
That's why I don't like the pay per view. Like, if a TLC match, you can use tables, ladders, and chairs. Technically, it's like a no DQ, and you should be able to use anything else, too.
Yeah, I know.
It's, I don't know. I think TLC match is good when you have
title. I think the TLC pay-per-view needs to be scrapped.
Yeah, bring back Armageddon. I don't know why.
I also think some of these gimmick matches need not
a table match. A ladder match?
Elimination Chamber should not be a pay-per-view, either.
No, bring it back to just random. Same with Hell in a Cell. Randomly bring it back. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while. I much prefer because you don't see it coming then.
It makes it more meaningful.
Makes it more fun because you don't see it coming.
Yep.
But yeah, that's what we think. Bring back a...
And then, they have a six-man tag match between Corbin, McIntyre, and Lashley against Elias, Balor, and Strowman to where the heels took out Strowman at the end.
Mm-hmm.
to where now Strowman, I think, actually needs to have surgery on his elbow.
I think that's also unrelated from that night, though. I think it's that was precursor.
And then Lesnar Strowman is also made official for Royal Rumble.
Interesting.
So.
Also, it sounds like Ziggler's got a hurt foot. Like, they're losing everybody. Everyone's hurt.
Well, I mean, if they're able to... If he's able to heal, you don't miss a lot of time. It's not a big deal.
True. I also have... speaking of injuries, did you see David Arquette's recent injury?
No.
He was wrestling against Nick Gage in a ultraviolet death match, and he had his throat cut from a
See that, actually.
And you know what? Kudos to David Arquette for saying, you know what? I'm not good at these matches. I didn't know how to protect myself. It's my fault. Good for him for admitting that.
Well, I just don't think he should be in the wrestling ring to begin with.
You know what? If he wants to be in a wrestling ring, fine, but not in a fucking death match. Because he could have died.
Well, he's only going to be in a wrestling match because he'd have to learn how to wrestle first.
Yeah. What else have you seen?
He looks like a diamond upside down in a wrestling ring.
A pussy?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, the other thing is there was a match. I don't know what promotion it was.
Oh, so it was the cinder blocking thrown, is it?
The Mexico City, where it's Angel Demonio threw a concrete or a cinder block at Cuervo's head and knocked him the fuck out.
Yeah.
That was disgusting. I'm wondering, there's got to be backstage heat prior to that. You don't just grab a cinder block and throw it at somebody.
What do you mean, that wasn't a work?
If that was a work, that's the greatest fucking work of all time. Of all the times.
I think it was stiff. But
stiff me, bro! What else do I have here? Ryder and Hawkins have partnered with Toys for Tots, considering what they're doing now with that new Figure It Out show and their podcast, good for them. I like that. I mean, yes, it brings more awareness to their stuff, but at the same time, they're helping something. They're helping out a cause. I like that. That's good. And here I have a new wrestling company starting, allegedly, with Cody and the Young Bucks. Not for sure. Allegedly. And it's, it's a few weeks ago, there was a rumor that Jericho and Jim Ross and the Elite were working behind the scenes to put together a new wrestling promotion. It's come to fruition that Jericho and Jim Ross are not. They said they weren't. But PWI is reporting that there's a company called All Elite Wrestling that started in Jackson, Florida, who have trademarked the following: All Elite Wrestling, AEW, Double or Nothing, which we'll get into a sec, All Out, and Tuesday Night Dynamite. And they were basically reportedly trademarked for wrestling, broadcasting, and merchandising purposes. And the person running this, I guess, is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shahid Khan. So that's interesting. And especially considering that Cody
now,
is rumored to...
Is it funny that it's based out of Florida?
It is.
Not
it's interesting.
California?
It's interesting.
Where the Young Bucks live, and... they live in, like, just outside
maybe
of Ontario, California.
Yeah, maybe it's more convenient because the guy that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars is willing to help them.
And Florida's pretty much where NXT is.
Well, it's not pretty much. It is where NXT is. Yeah. Although they do travel, but it is basically their home state. But it is interesting that Cody also said he was thinking about naming, or doing another all-in, but naming it Double or Nothing, and that's one of the trademarks. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So... looks like potentially the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes could.
What happens if it's a Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho thing?
That would also be cool. I could see it. Jericho's willing
but
to do
imagine,
stuff like that.
Like, also think about what name we're not being we're not talking about here in this one.
Omega.
Yeah.
Or Skrull or Adam Page.
But
the big one is Omega.
Why do you think that could be the case?
Well, that's the thing. Like, he didn't really do anything for. All In either. He was there, he wrestled, but
no, he's not so much of that sort, but the fact that his name is being tossed around as guys who are being involved in this from a worker standpoint makes me think, is there something else going on with Kenny Omega to why he can't do that?
Maybe.
Just saying, there could be speculation that he could be bound for a different promotion in the new year.
It's very possible. We'll find out after Wrestle Kingdom if he loses the title.
Yeah, big one.
Although I could see them having him win then and lose it like a house show later on.
Or just like a smaller show later.
Yeah. That's all I got for wrestling. We can blast through the hockey ones real quick. On a side note, this is Thursday. It's American Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We're recording a little bit later in the week because... we want to.
Because the Backbreaker Media says we're not going to be airing and dropping our podcast on Thursday. It'll be dropping on Friday. So
they're taking American Thanksgiving off.
We're recording on Thursday. After we watched them Saints go 10-1, by the way.
Who dat?
Yeah. Who dat?
No, seriously, who dat?
Who gonna beat them Saints?
Oh, the Saints. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
We have a more of a clear picture than most weeks because we are so late and whatnot. On a side note, what are you American thankful for?
New Orleans Saints.
I'm American thankful for the fact that today is a day that the Blackhawks did not lose. I understand they didn't play tonight, but I don't fucking care. A win's a win. This is a small victory.
But they didn't win either.
This is a small victory just for me.
They didn't win, though.
No, it's a small victory just for me. Because they didn't lose. Yeah. Also, apparently Calgary is completely out of the left field here, but Calgary voted, its population voted against hosting the Olympics 2026.
Yeah.
So I guess they won't. Although it sounds like the IOC is trying to really sweeten the deal for them to host it in 2030. I guess they're running out of cities that can host it and are able to host it. So yeah, the cities that are interested are very small, like of who they were willing to work with.
Well, I mean, the last time they held the Olympics,
in 88,
Saddle Dome became the new arena.
That's why I was surprised. Like, maybe if they say yes, they'll get a new arena out of it. But I don't know.
No, I mean, nobody's going to say Calgary's smart.
Yeah, fair enough. Did you hear the rumor that the Cleveland Browns were interviewing Condoleezza Rice for head coach job?
Well, I heard the rumor that she could have been in a selection for an interview.
But the Browns later came out and said that's not the case, but... Where the hell did that start from?
Probably because it's the Browns and anything is possible.
But, I mean, of all things, you go with someone who is formerly part of the government? No experience with football.
Not even that. A woman to the point where not a single woman has ever head coached an NFL team.
You know, I'd be okay if a woman head coached, but if she has history in football. This is a woman who was formerly in the United States government. As far as I know, has nothing to do with football. Yeah. Why the fuck would you pick her? Hey, if you got, you know, Courtney Watsits, who, you know, coached many, many a year of football and knows a whole crap ton about it, okay. But Condoleezza Rice, who's, former Secretary of State? It's...
Yeah, former. If you're not going to get the current, why bother?
Exactly. Then a few things for hockey. Thornton got his 400th. Right after our last podcast ended. Uh-huh. Like, literally minutes after we did the last one. FNUF hit 1,000 games. I'm surprised he got that far. Good God. Penn signed Jim Rutherford to a 3-year contract extension, to which he immediately traded for Tanner Pearson. He traded Carl Hagelin away. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting.
Well, they got to make a move, because their head coach is... pretty much on the hot seat if they're not doing well.
Speaking of which, you want to talk about your team, what they've done lately?
Yeah, they've fired Todd McClellan and hired Ken Hitchcock.
That's cocky of them, eh?
And then 2 days later, traded a 6th-round draft pick to the Ottawa Senators for Chris Weidman.
Ah, the ref beater.
Yeah. There we go. Here's why they made this trade. They're tired of McDavid not getting the calls from the ref, so now they brought in an insurance policy.
Fair enough. A few other things. Tristan Jarry scored a goal in the AHL. Yeah. That's kind of cool. Former Oil King and plays with the Penguins. Lundqvist is 7th all-time in wins, so good for him. What the fuck's going on with Jamie Benn? Mm-hmm. He's had several fights this year. Like, good fights, too. But, I mean...
Captain's got a lead, bro.
Are they doing that bad that he has to fight, though?
Hey, Jonathan Tate fights.
Not often, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe he should fight. Maybe that'll help the team out.
Well, I mean, he's not the best player on the team. Sagan is, so...
Fair enough. What else we have? Ducks Cam Fowler will have surgery this past Friday to fix injury to his orbital bone, cheekbone, upper jawbone. He is the one who legit has a broken face.
I was going to say, did he get punched by Nia Jax?
No, I think she did a leg drop inside on his face. Mm. Yeah. What else do I have? Matt Murray apparently is out long term with a lower body injury. Yeah, what else? Pekka Rinne becomes the winningest Finnish goalie in NHL history. I don't care about that. Sidney Crosby's now back. Aaron Rodgers donated $1 million to the California Fighters. So that's cool.
Vince Carter reached 25,000 points.
Well, good for him.
So, he has actually... outside of the first two teams he played for, has not spent more than five seasons with the team.
Since?
Yeah, because he spent five seasons with Toronto, and then I believe he went to Memphis? The Nets right after, and spent 5 years there, and then has played with multiple other teams, including Memphis. And
he's playing like a year here, year there.
Whatever. Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's 41 years old.
Still playing, good for him.
Yeah, jeez. So.
Good for him.
Congrats to Vinsanity.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Took Linsanity. I like that.
Well, that was also the nickname they gave him when he won the dunk contest.
Gotcha.
Back
when, you know...
when the Raptors were a thing.
Well, they're kind of a thing now. I heard they're doing pretty well.
With the purple jerseys.
I like that purple jersey. I do. Yeah. That's all I got here.
Oh, by the way, there's now a website... I don't know it right off the top of my head, but it was a thing I found on Facebook where you can get NHL jersey NBA style. Like, you can get an NHL jersey in the form of an NBA jersey.
So it's like basically the tank top kind of look.
Yeah, but it's an actual jersey. Yeah.
So I've seen it the other way around before.
I've seen like the Aztec, like the Coyotes alternate.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a couple more things. Schooner or Storm? What do you prefer?
Schooners. I can drink them way easier.
We're talking, of course, about the 10th expansion team in the CFL, which will either be the Atlantic Schooners or the Atlantic Storm.
By the time this podcast comes out, a name will be decided. I'm going to go forward and says, welcome the Atlantic Schooners to the Canadian Football League.
And I'm going to go forward and saying, welcome the Atlantic Storm. You should have gone with Schooners. There we go. All bases covered. And speaking of which...
Apparently Convoy was not taken. I'm like, Convoy would have been cool.
The Atlantic Convoy. Fair enough. Because I think personally, I mean, for both names, you know, if they go with Schooner...
Well, it's interesting that they're going with Atlantic instead of Halifax.
I don't mind. I mean, I've always said...
It's
no matter,
different, though.
Yeah, I've always said no matter what, you get a team in Halifax, call them the Halifax Explosion. I've said that for years. I've had... teams on NHL like mocked up to be the Halifax Explosion. I think it's a great name, but that's just me. It pays homage to a tragic event that happened while having a good name for a sports team. Anyways, but for both teams, like, you know, Schooners, they're chasing after the ship, the championship, or they shipped the bed.
Maybe they just like to drink.
Maybe they just drink themselves stupid. That's why they lose. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll have to get that Ottawa Redblacks player.
That's why their ship hit that iceberg.
Yeah. Exactly. They'll have to get that Ottawa Redblacks player to join their team because he's ship-faced. Mm. I think the Schooners would work just for those puns alone, but that's just me. Speaking of which, we're going to be at the Grey Cup game this Sunday.
I just like Schooner because it's another name for the another name of a beer.
Well, it's a size of beer.
Yeah, and like you got the Brewers out of Milwaukee, you got the Schooners in the CFL. Come on, it has to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. The Brewers can fill the Schooners.
Exactly.
But yeah, we'll be at the Grey Cup this Sunday.
Yeah.
We're going to see the Red Blacks take on the Stampeders.
Yeah.
Predictions.
I am going to drink a lot of Atlantic Schooners.
Fair enough. I predict both teams are going to go out and have fun.
I'm also going to predict I don't give a flying fuck about the halftime show.
I'm going to predict during the halftime show I'm going to be taking a dump. I hope I'm wrong because I really don't want to take a dump in that place. But it might have to happen.
Can you do it in the place where everybody washes their hands? Because it's a bowl.
No!
Really funny.
But anyways, if you happen to be going to the Grey Cup, stop by and say hi. We'll be in section N, I think? I don't know. We're somewhere towards the end zone that has the giant scoreboard with the Jumbotron thing. We're somewhere down
there. Are we on the side of the mini donuts or the other side?
I think other side. I think we're the same side that I had season tickets for, but we're closer to the end. So I think we're section N or NN, something like that. We're down there somewhere.
Section no CNN.
Yeah, there you go. But anyways, that's all I got. We're going to be coming up, bud.
Well, I was supposed to be in Red Deer this Saturday for Kingdom Come Part 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
For this Canadian Wrestling Coalition, but I am now been banned from the arena from Commissioner Bob Gordon as I am
gonna pick it up front?
As I am not medically cleared to wrestle.
Fuck! Welcome to the not medically cleared club, man. We got fucking hats.
However, when have I ever been someone that liked to listen to rules?
Fair enough.
So. That's all I'm going to say. So
he's going to pick it out front of the arena.
People at Festival Hall.
Ready to have your faces blown off.
Enjoy the show. Because the king might come.
The return of the king. You could be one of the lords of the rings.
No.
You could be the lord of the rings.
I already got one ring.
Ring.
And I don't feel like I rule them all.
You could rule the wrestling ring.
Oh, that's a given.
Well, then there you go. The return of the king. Booyah, gotcha.
619.
There you go. I'm going to be at the Grey Cup coming up. Yeah. That's all I got coming up, really.
Grey Cup struggles.
Grey Cup struggles. I can predict, no matter who wins, Tag Struggle will be the Grey Cup champions.
The nation of Tag Struggle.
Yeah.
Just like the last Olympic gold medalists.
The nation of struggles.
We are the nation of Tag Struggle.
Tag Struggle, hailing from Manville.
Struggleicious nation.
Yes. Yes, we are. Also want to throw out there, I'm a free agent. Just saying. That's all I have to say about that.
I can be bought.
I can be bought and sold. Next week, I have a thing about naming all the wrestling royal families. I wanted to get into a game, but I want to go home to sleep because I'm not sober.
Well, we also need material for weeks prior.
Exactly.
It's not like we plan this shit.
Exactly. I meant to do that 2 weeks ago, to be honest, and I just haven't got to it yet. So, yeah.
You mean like when we're supposed to come up with funny names?
And we just never did. Yeah. It's just, we do whatever. Yeah. Anyways, we can...
We don't have attention span, so why should our listeners?
What? Exactly.
Who did?
Who did? So yeah, make sure you do all the... Go down in the description below and buy our stuff. Buy subscriptions to watch our stuff.
For anybody who's wanting to know when we're going to get new t-shirts, I have somewhat designed a logo.
2019, there'll be new t-shirts. That's what I'm predicting. 2019.
At least by 2020. 2019 is the hope. 2020 will be a certain.
Within the next 2 years, there'll be new t-shirts. Yeah. There you go. All right, that's all I got. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, this will do it for episode 102.
Sweet!
That sounds struggle.
Yes.
We are Tag Struggle.
The one and only. The two and only.
And we are real.
And strugglicious-ly spectacular.
That's a little bit of all right.
Yeah, it is.
So, knock, knock.
Who dare? Who dat?
Bitches.
Where? Bitches who?
Later.
Ah, I get it.
Yeah, as in, later, bitches. As you're running out of breath. If you're ready to rock, we'll just let it roll. Are you ready now? Are you ready to move with me? Just move with me. Move with me. Come on, come on. Get up and move with me. Just move with me. Move with me.